Our opening hymn for today is number 350. Please stand. Our service for this morning begins on page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. At this time, I will direct you to your proper's insert as we speak together the introit, half verse by half verse. Behold, your King is coming to you.
Righteous and having salvation.
To you, O Lord.
I lift up my soul.
O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame.
Let not my enemies exalt over me.
Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Behold, your King is coming to you. The Lord be with you. Again, I'll direct you to your proper's insert as we pray together the collect of the day. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins, and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Advent comes from Isaiah chapter 64. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God besides you, who acts for those who wait for him. You meet him with who joyfully works righteousness, those who remember you in your ways. Behold, you were angry, and we sinned. In our sins we have been a long time. And shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us, and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please look, we are all your people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At this time, I'll once again direct you to your small catechism insert as we continue our confession on the sacrament of the altar. What is the benefit of this eating and drinking?
These words, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins, show us that in this sacrament, for forgiveness of sins, life and salvation are given us through these words. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation.
How can bodily eating and drinking do such great things? Who receives this sacrament worthily? The epistle comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 11th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. When they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately. And they went away, and found a colt, tied at a door outside in the street. And they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, what are you doing untying the colt? And they told them what Jesus had said. And they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it. And he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road. And others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. At this time, I'll direct you to page 192 as we confess together our God-given faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God. The living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. Our next hymn for today is number 332.
Thank you.
Please stand.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If my memory serves me right, and I am indeed remembering correctly, it was the end of 2018, about this time of year. Just one time in the last 6 years of living here in Illinois that my family and I had to shelter in the basement during a storm. I heard that there would be storms blowing through the area that day, of course, but I didn't think it would be any big deal, right? Thunderstorms come and go all the time. And so my wife and I were eating supper with our children, and she goes, "Well, do you think that we should go downstairs into the basement?" I said, "No, we'll be fine." And then I heard the tornado sirens. And I looked at my wife and I thought, "You know what? Maybe we should go into the basement." Now, of course, here in Clinton, we were mostly spared from any kind of destruction. But there were over 30 tornadoes that evening, and not everyone can say the same. See, I imagine there were families much like my own on that very night who prayed. See, because in times of danger and uncertainty, and in the midst of the storm, Christians have this tendency to reach out to the Lord, and they pray. They say, "Save us, Lord. Hosanna." Our sermon for this morning focuses on the Old Testament text from Isaiah chapter 64. And in Isaiah 64, by the time we make it to the end of Isaiah's book, the city of Jerusalem is depicted as a place that is no longer sought after, a place not worth protecting. Her inhabitants have been driven away by war or carried off into exile. She is desolate. And yet what does Isaiah do? But he talks about how these watchmen are set up in this land, in Jerusalem. Now, watchmen, essentially, in the old times, were like modern-day tornado sirens. They looked and they tried to find out if there was danger coming. And if danger was indeed on its way to the town, then they would sound the alarm. And if there were soldiers in the city, they could prepare themselves. And if there were people, they could shelter in place. However, that's not what's going on here. Jerusalem has already been besieged. War has left her desolate. So why are there watchmen? Who do they have to warn? What's the point? There's nothing of value to protect. These watchmen, what they're doing is they're not waiting for attackers. They're not waiting for danger to rear its ugly head. Instead, they're waiting for the Lord to come. They're looking to the dawn of their restoration. And as they wait, they pray. Just like Christians pray in times of desolation, so too the watchmen. Isaiah 64 is the prayer of the watchmen. We are the watchmen of our own time. We pray and we watch that God might come and deliver us from desolation and destruction, that he would save us from this place that we live in, that we say might be no longer sought after. Our prayer is that he would restore us, take care of us, and usher in a better reality for us. And so as God's watchmen, we wait and we watch and we look for him to come. But what gets us here to begin with? Do you remember who sent the Babylonians to take Israel off into exile and to drive them away by war? God did. Do you remember who was responsible for the hardship that fell upon their shoulders? God was. He scattered and he destroyed his very own people. And so these Israelites, they're kind of doing something that seems very counterintuitive. This guy just destroyed us. This guy just scattered us abroad. And now we're going to watch and we're going to hope and we're going to pray that he comes. Why would anybody want a God like that? It's because God doesn't only bring destruction, but he does bring restoration. His destruction is always for a purpose. And they know that even though he is the God who is destroyed, he is the God who still cares for his people, even in the midst of it. That's what faith is. They trusted in God above all things, and they recognized that the pain that had to befall them, that God would make it work for their good. They believed that God would also keep his promises, and he promised to their forefathers that a Savior would be born. He promised to their forefathers that they would be delivered for all time. Not earthly temporal deliverance, but a deliverance that would last for all eternity. They recognized that though God might withdraw his earthly blessings from time to time, that he would still be maybe sending them hardships. They knew that he would never withdraw the one thing that they needed most of all. That's himself. See, Israel's destruction, it was a wake-up call to repentance. And it worked. They were destroyed, and it made them fall on their knees in humility, and the only thing they had left to do was pray. They returned to the Lord their God, and they were excited for his coming because they knew that there was nowhere else to go but up. The prayer of the watchman from Isaiah 64 teaches us that God still invites us, even his people, to be people who acknowledge their sin and hope for salvation in him alone. Do you see the application for our time? No hardship is incidental. No difficulty in your life happens for no reason. The hardships that befall us, they have a purpose. And at the very least, we can say that the hardships, the storms, the problems in life, they're a wake-up call. At the very least, that's what they are. A call to repentance, much like God did with Israel. And more importantly is that the destruction and the hardship, what it's designed to do is expose our false gods. Expose them and then lead us back to the one true God. Our hardships are designed to make us pray, "Save us, Lord." So what have you learned about yourself this year? What false gods have been exposed for you? What is essential? That's another buzzword for 2020. What is essential in your life? Especially as we're facing new shutdowns on the horizon here. Is what you deem essential, is that the same thing that God's word says is essential? See, we so often have a hard time seeing God when we're in the midst of trouble. And we think he's just completely absent. And then when we prosper, we fail to give him the credit for it. Say everything evaporates tomorrow and all of our problems go away. Who gets the credit? Do we thank the doctors for giving us a vaccine? Or do we thank the Lord who has provided us with it? Let's not let this be how it is amongst us. Let's not fail to see God in the midst of our hardship, and let's not fail to give him credit where credit is due. We need to repent of our false gods, because the one thing needful, the one thing that is essential, is Jesus. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls upon God's name and rouses himself to take hold of it. For he has hidden his face from us and has made us melt in the hand of our iniquity. Much to my shame, I will admit that I got caught up this year in the cares and the concerns and the worries of this world. Hindsight's 20/20. But to close the church for 2 months, that's a sin.
may be permissible for a time, but for 2 whole months, that is not in keeping with God's word. Advent teaches us that the church is supposed to be incarnational. That means in the flesh. The church is at its best when the members can gather together in person. Not when they worship individually, separately across the internet. And again, certainly there are extreme times in our life where maybe that will be permissible for a time, but not forever. Baptism welcomes a child or even an adult into the family of Christ, into the family of God Himself, an eternal family. How can we have a baptism apart from the church? The Lord's Supper, well, certainly there are times where we have to receive it individually, especially in the case of homebound members and things of that nature, but it's called communion for a reason, because we're supposed to enjoy it in the midst of a community with the gathered believers assembled. What is essential? The proclamation of God's word and the distribution of His sacraments. This is always essential in the life of a Christian. This is always essential if our faith is going to endure until Christ's coming. Because these are the ways that we turn to God. These are the ways that He answers us according to His salvation. These are the ways that He delivers the forgiveness we need to endure for all time. We need to pray like the watchman. But now, O Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of Your hand. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please look. We are all Your people. My friends, we need God to mold us. We need Him to be our potter. Through hardship and calamity and storms and all of life's problems, yes. Through goodness and prosperity and all of His blessings, yes. We are His church. We are those who watch for His coming, who rejoice in the forgiveness that He delivers. And more importantly, He's the Father who doesn't hold your sins against you. He's the one who declares that you are forgiven. And this only comes from our Lord Jesus, because Jesus is the fulfillment of the watchman's prayer. Israel was restored in part before Jesus came. Right? They rebuilt the temple, and Jerusalem was going on and moving about, even under Roman control. But God's people weren't restored to being God's people. Not fully. Until Jesus. Until He came riding on a donkey to be crucified for the sins of the world. Until Jesus conquered the grave for all time in His resurrection. So that's who we're going to be this church year. We're going to be the watchmen. We're going to watch through the pages of Scripture as Jesus comes in the flesh, born of the Virgin Mary. We're going to watch as Jesus shows His compassion to His fallen creation, as He performs miracles of healing, and as He teaches His people who don't know any better. We're going to watch as Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. We're going to watch as He carries His own cross up Mount Calvary, where He is nailed to it. We're going to watch as He sheds His blood for your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world. And then we're going to watch as this God-man dies and conquers the grave as He bursts forth on Easter Sunday. Yes, we will come to church to watch Jesus fulfill His role as Savior and to receive what He has won for us in the forgiveness of our sins, to feast on His body and blood. And when we, as the watchmen, when we have that privilege to see Him coming again on the clouds, we know that He will save us from the storm once and for all. Isaiah 64 is the prayer of the watchmen. And Isaiah 64 is your prayer. And so, I will encourage you one more time to take out your proper's insert as we pray together the collect of the day. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we will sing together the offertory as it's found on page 192. Please stand. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people, according to their needs. To you, O Lord, we lift up our souls, and in you we put our trust. Do not let us be ashamed of our hope, but come quickly. Sustain us by your Holy Spirit, that we may have joy at the advent of Christ our Savior. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, enrich your saints in every way as we enter another church year. Encourage the preachers of your word and all who hear, that the testimony about Christ may be confirmed again among us. Give boldness and faithfulness to Matthew, our synod president, Mark, our district president, Mark, our circuit visitor, and all pastors in Christ. As you have called us into the fellowship of your Son, so sustain us as we wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, preserve and bless all Christian households, that husbands and wives would live in love and service to each other, that fathers and mothers would diligently bring up their children in your fear, and that children would honor their parents and be well equipped for service to their neighbors in this life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, be with the governing authorities and enable them to preserve peace and order in our nation. Hear our prayers for Donald, our president, JB, our governor, our military and police, and other civil servants as well as all newly elected officials. Increase a spirit of unity and cooperation among the people of our land and the nations of the world. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Compassionate Lord, behold in mercy all who are in any danger, trouble, sickness, or need. Hear our prayers for the sick and suffering, especially those on our prayer list and those we remember in our hearts. Give health to our world and bring the pandemic to an end. Comfort all who mourn and sustain them with a confident hope in the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord's Prayer can be found in the back cover of your hymnal.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen.
Please remain standing as we sing together our closing hymn, number 805. Please be seated.